Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
ARCA, that's going to be interesting to see. They're going to give their take on all this. How well do you think that will stand up compared to the other testimony that we saw from Judson and company?
Well, I think the issue is going to be that, first of all, did they have time to do the appropriate experiments they should do based on what Welcher said? Mm-hmm. Remember, she gave them only, I want to say, a week. I don't know any expert that can do all of that in a week's time or so.
Yeah.
You'd have to work day and night and have 20 people working with you and to write a report and do all that. So I don't know if they were able to really do the testing or if they just, again, did what DiGiorno did. I know it's not DiGiorno. And just say, well, listen, they're saying this and relying on their words mm-hmm. and their experiments. If they do that, I think it's going to fall flat. But the biggest problem I think is going to be is on the heels of the woman that said they tried to coerce her not to tell the truth. When all that nastiness comes in, which Kanoni said, I am giving you big latitude. She pointed that out to Brennan to go after them for not being honest in the first trial and to the court. I think it's going to look really bad for the defense.
There's a lot in here that is putting a lot of doubt in the not reasonable doubt for Karen Reed, but putting a lot of doubt into the legitimacy of the Karen Reed defense in terms of trusting them on anything they're presenting when we're getting just flat out down to the damning testimony that we saw today by their own witness about the threats of we're going to go after you for perjury and all of that. It's not a good look in front of that jury. I don't know what's going to save them at this point. Are you surprised at how well the prosecution is doing this case? I mean, I expected them to do well, but in my opinion, it just feels like this is not working for Karen at all. I was expecting a little more neck and neck on this, but my read is that it's not feeling that way.
You know, in really researching Brennan before the trial began, mm-hmm. I thought, wow, this guy is going to be good. I mean, anytime you wore the defense hat mm-hmm. as well as he wore that, that's why he's such a great cross-examiner. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just so adept at it. The other thing is he has made himself the key figure for the prosecution throughout this whole process. Mm-hmm. So I think the jury, I think probably has developed some sort of connection with him. Mm-hmm. He's so easy to follow, so to the point. He's sparred a little bit. Mm-hmm. But nothing condescending and really ugly, where he's seen Jackson get ugly. They've seen Alessi come completely unhinged.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying that I'm making hand motions and I'm not judge. Then she says, what? Let him answer. But judge, he's saying I'm doing something and I'm not. And then the judge says, Alessi, please.
Yeah.
You know, it was such a bad moment for the defense.
It was. I'm kind of stunned by this. But again, this is, I think, speaking to just everybody's human in this. And they have got to be frustrated as hell. Just every corner they turn, even if they've made some runs here, then all of a sudden they turn around and there's Karen saying something else, whether it be in video from years ago or walking outside the courtroom that same damn day. I am kind of legitimately wondering, is it just like, just let her hang herself? Just, we're going to do our job. We're going to show that we defended this as best we could. But at the end of the day, you can't stop her from hanging herself, because that seems to be what she continues to do every time she talks, every time she says something outside the courthouse. She contradicts herself within the same sentence sometimes. It's kind of stunning.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at Karen Reed compared to last trial, in that trial, she was walking on sunshine. Mm-hmm. You know, when she left the courtroom, when she was in the courtroom, and now you see her, you know, I watch her when I watch the trial, I always watch the Karen cam next to it to see what her reactions are to the witnesses. And for instance, right now, just glancing over here, seeing the Dr. Russell, their dog bite expert, testify. She is a wilted flower. AJ seems to be more concerned about his text messages that are coming in. It's crazy how checked out AJ seems and how deflated Karen seems. And it's such a different look, and it's because they don't have the upper hand this trial. They had the upper hand last trial.
Yeah, and it's been evident from the start. The dog bite expert is on there right now, or I said that in air quotes, really. She was giving out some very interesting numbers about just how many dog bites she had seen, and you were doing some research on that. You want to speak to that at all?
Oh, yeah. You know, when she's had two voir dires, one last year, one this year, and testified. So I have been able to watch all three in full. And her contradictions between bites and scratches and her exaggerations of how many dog bites, wounds she has examined was jaw-dropping. And at the time, you know, I was writing on Twitter hoping the CW is monitoring my tweets, saying, you have got to go pull that, because she gives very specific dates that she purportedly worked at these establishments and very specific timeframes. And all that information about dog bites, dog bite wounds, anybody who dog from a dog bite is all readily available. So as an example, her last job she had was at a prison, a physician at a prison, which, by the way, working in and around prisons, visiting these inmates, being in and out of them, is the worst job. I can't imagine any physician that wants to give up a posh, wonderful clinical or hospital type address for a prison.
Yeah,
I always say prisons smell like a cross between kitty litter and B.O. and bleach.
Which
so every
actually,
day you walk into it.
That's a new scent I saw at Bath & Body for the season. It's one of those new spring scents. It's,
Been to prison. Yeah, I mean, I always just got myself prepared when I walked in there. And that's what you're giving up for that. But anyway, she talks about dog bites there. She talked about examining at least 1,000 dog bites in one place, but she lowered it to 500 just to be careful. I'm like, you should not, as an expert, be throwing numbers out like that. When you do your CV, which her CV didn't even involve dog bite expert, right? She did one small paper, which I also posted on Twitter. It's a very easy and short read, and it has nothing to do with civilian dogs. And it was written eons ago. I mean, the dog bites she examined, she didn't even use DNA.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's so incredible that she's just discounting the DNA. She said today, I believe, that dogs don't always leave DNA. I'm like, how can you possibly say such a ludicrous statement?
Dogs don't always leave DNA.
Now,
really?
Now, we'll have to look at the exact one, because I've been on here with you, but I was reading, you know, there's a teleticker, and like, did she really just say that? Oh my gosh. So, you know, there's big problems with inflating her numbers that she's examined. I looked, and I believe it was from 17 to 2023, the total amount of dog bite incidents in incarcerated people was 295 incidents. Mm-hmm. Yet she is giving inflated numbers on how many she examined at the prison that she was at. She also gave, I thought, inflated numbers on how many deaths. She said that she examined, which totally had nothing to do with her expertise for this trial, 60 people died in her prison in a short amount of time. I'm like, 60 people died in that prison? That's the kind of stuff Brennan needs to have an analyst go look up, because it's going to be easily found, how many people died at that prison during that date range. 60 seems over the top.
It all seemed like high numbers. I mean, I'm not an expert in any of that. So it's sometimes you get surprised. You're like, oh, wow, I didn't know that that number is that. But the numbers seemed very high on everything that she was saying. It's like, why? And why are you having that many dog bite incidents in the prison to begin with? Like, are the dogs just like, are they out there in the yard? And it's just like, hey, go get them like every day? Or what the hell is going on here? Because if you're having that many dog bite incidents, I think there might be a problem with the prison.
Yeah, that's why it just doesn't make sense when you look at the numbers. And I think it won't make sense. And I hope they went back and looked at the ERs that she looked at. How many times did people really come in with dog bites? Thousands? Yeah. I'm not buying it.
I don't know. It's certainly data to look into, and would be very interesting to hear what that would sound like if she's challenged on it, which maybe is happening as we're talking. But yeah, I wonder if it's, I'll give a tit for tat here. If she's like, oh, that number was wrong. It was, I meant to say this or that. Okay, fine. Then as long as you correct it, if it is in fact wrong, but it does seem a bit off. She seems like a lovely woman that you meet in a coffee shop, hear some fantastical stories, go home and Google and go, oh, holy shit, that person was really, they were telling some stories, but I could be wrong. I don't know. All right. There we are. Jennifer Coffendaff, retired FBI special agent. As always, thank you for your insight into the case that is Karen Reed.
Thank you, Tony.